Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 8, if you will. John chapter 8. And verse number 28. Anybody need a worksheet? Raise your hand and they'll come by and give you one. Slip your hand up there if you miss getting one. We're really late here tonight. I'm going to try not to back up too far. There's a lesson here that isn't necessarily totally attached to what we've been talking about, so I think we can do that. John chapter 8, verse number 28. Let's read this portion first. John chapter 8, verse number 28. Then said Jesus unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He." We talked about that last week. They said they've been arguing who He is, and something is this one. He's here. No, He's this. He's that. Whatever. He said, and he said, "You know who I am." And then he says, "But the fact is, you don't really know who I am. You know who I am earthly wise, but you don't really know who I am, who my real Father is." And he says, "When I get lifted up, you're going to find out. When you see all that happens, you'll realize that I am the Son of God." So he says, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Look at it again. "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye," what's the result? Those at the semicolon of the word indeed. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now see, that's all one sentence there. "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let's pray, and we're going to talk about being free indeed. Indeed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and some good thoughts in here. I hope we can get this through here tonight. Pray that you bless our time. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move and take these thoughts. And sometimes it's a passage that confuses some folks and they misuse it and kind of abuse it, in fact, sometimes. So, Lord, help us to see the truth in here and allow us to understand it. And so we ask for your blessing. We give you the praise in Christ's name. There are many people who think freedom is being able to do as they please. And if we're not careful, say, "Well, okay. Sounds good." No. With a definition like that, the Word of God is not freedom but bondage. However, the truths of the Word of God bring freedom from bondage. The Lord will make us free to live according to the Word of God and enjoy the blessings of such a life. Otherwise, we are bound by the chains of our own sin, which we're born in, which leads to death. Let me give you number one. Being a believer gives freedom from the penalty of sin. Now, this is really not where we're going to aim at, but I wanted this in your thoughts as we go along here. Being a believer gives freedom from the penalty of sin. Letter A, we're talking about positional sanctification. A little theology here. Now, he's talking about something here, and he's not really giving this theological lesson, but he does start with this because this is where we have to start. Everything, you know, there's a lot of folks who want all kinds of things out of being a Christian. You know, they don't want any more problems. They want everything to go their way. They don't want anybody to die on them. They don't want to ever have to have problems with their money. They want everything with their health to be wonderful and all these things. And they say they want all these things. By the way, we live in a sin-cursed world, and sometimes God does allow these things to overpass us, but sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes we got to go through them. And we get mad at God, we better be careful with that. But they want to do that, but the fact is that a lot of folks want to get to that point without going through the initial point. On Sunday morning, we talked about, the Bible says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. I believe the gate, the straight gate, is Jesus Christ. He's the door. You don't get on the road to going to heaven until you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. There are no other choices besides Jesus Christ. So you got to get on this. You're kind of pinched. It's like you say, well, you know, that's the hard way of doing it. That's the only way you're going to do it. So you better go ahead and get used to it. Slide in that way. Now, once we're in the gate, we're on our way to heaven. We're going to end up there. But the fact of living a life that's going to be blessed, pleasing to the Lord, but blessed for us as well, is going to be on that same little narrow way, that narrow road that's going to get us there. So the original getting in the gate is what we're talking about here, a positional sanctification. He says there in verse 8, he says, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, what he's talking about there is the crucifix of Jesus Christ. He says, that's the first thing you got to understand. You've got to find out who I am. And we talked about that a few weeks ago, that what you got to believe, that this is God himself dying on the cross for our sins. That's what we need to believe. When Philip found the Ethiopian eunuch out in the middle of the desert, he preached on him, Jesus, out of Isaiah's writings there. And he said, the eunuch said, what doth hinder me to being baptized? He says, that you believe with all your heart. And his belief is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So you got to believe more than he's the Son of God. Yes, but you got to believe that it is God dying for your sins. That's who died. I can't die for your sins. You can't die for mine. And so when he preached on him Isaiah 53, it gave the gospel what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But what we needed to know was, who was it that actually died on the cross? There was two other men who died on the cross that day. They weren't paying for anybody's sins. They couldn't even pay for their own. So just because somebody died on the cross doesn't mean they paid for our sins. The only one that could pay for our sins is God himself. And so we got to come to the first realization that I am such a mess that only God himself, the sacrifice of God himself, is enough payment to pay for the mess I've made. That's where we are. Now, Jesus provides salvation from the penalty of sin. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, our position, if you will, changes from being lost and condemned because of our sin to being saved and no longer condemned, but having been given eternal life. Our position changes. We're on a different list. We're in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our position changes from dead in trespasses and sins to being alive in Christ. We have ultimate victory over death and hell. And this also, because of that though, because we have that, this also positions us, you heard me say it, to have access to victory in our lives over sin. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's good. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he's not going to hold the door shut on us. He's going to welcome us into heaven with open arms. We have peace with God. He's willing to call us his children right now. However, verse 2, but by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So now we have not only we have salvation, but we now have access to the grace of God. Remember when Peter said, grace and mercy be multiplied unto you. Often, the miracle working of God multiply. We want this to be in your life. You now, by being saved, you are now in position to be able to be given the blessings of God. We can now have Hebrews 4:16, which says, so we can come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help to help in time of need. So we have to start out with being a believer gives us freedom from the penalty of sin. And that's not one of my major point, but that gets us into access. That gives you the password, so to speak. That gives you the code. That gives you the PIN number. You can get to the throne of God. Can you imagine having the PIN number that gets you into the computer at the White House? You know? Oh, look at that. Okay? We've got the PIN number that gets us to the throne of God. And his name is Jesus Christ. Because we're saved by grace through faith. Now, number two. Watch this now. Believers must continue in the Word. Now, we were saved by the Word. In fact, in Timothy, Paul says that the Scriptures are able to make one wise unto salvation. We're saved by the Word of God. We're saved by faith in what God has promised. But once you're a believer, once you are saved, you must continue in the Word of God in order to have freedom from the power of sin in our daily lives. We want victory over the practice of sin. We want victory over this power that it has over us. In fact, you know, as someone who's not saved, you really don't have much recourse against sin. You have your decision, and you can do what you can make some decisions. But it's amazing how you get, even then, it's like it kind of builds up on you. It just it changes who you are. So we had positional sanctification because we get saved. Now, we need to continue in the Word of God, and that will give us power over our sin. Letter A, that's progressive sanctification. Some of you knew I was already going there. Progressive. Now, why is it called progressive? Because it just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. We will never be fully arrived. We're always growing in the Lord. He's progressing. Verse 30, he says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. That was good. He says, okay, we got some folks who believe. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Indeed. In certainty. In true. In truth. Really. See, you know, we want to say, well, you know, I've received Christ as my Savior, so I'm a disciple of Christ. Now, you're a believer in Christ. To be a disciple of Christ is different than being a believer in Christ. A believer in Christ is going to heaven. Now, some folks, that's all they care about. You know, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to get into heaven. All right, I'm good. But a disciple of Christ wants to learn the Word of God. He wants to continue in the Word. Number two, underneath that word continue means to stay there, watch, with expectancy. Stay there with expectancy. Stay where? In the Word. Continue in my Word. To abide there. To dwell with the Word. To live in the Word. To endure the Word. Even when you don't like what it says, you're going to take it. To stand in the Word. That means that what you learn in the Word, that's where you're going to stand. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to support. That's what I'm going to attest to. I don't even understand it all yet, but it's God's Word. I'm going to stand right there in God's Word. Now, he says, a believer, what we need to do, you believe and get you into heaven, but you want to be God's disciple, you've got to continue in his Word. He says, my word, that little word there is logos, the reasonings of God, the thoughts of God. God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. And listen, I guarantee you there's people in here that would probably attest to this. Your thinking changed after you got saved. Maybe little by little, maybe not overnight, but you started seeing things differently than you used to see. I remember my dad. You know, early on it was just like, how do you all think this way? Why do you? And then after he got saved, it was like, why doesn't everybody think this way? What's wrong with these people? The Word of God are the reasonings of God. So look at it this way. When we get saved, that gets us in the door to heaven. But we want to be His disciple, then we need to continue in the Word of God, the reasoning, the thoughts of God, with expectancy. In other words, go to the Word of God saying, I'm going to get what He's got. I want what He has. There's a thought. Listen, I'm probably not thinking about this thing right. I'm going to find out how He thinks about it, because when I do it the way He thinks about it, He helps make it work. Besides the fact, it's going to work because He designed it. It's like trying to, you know, a new car with all these newfangled things, and you got all these buttons, and you go in this. I like buttons. I do. I kind of like buttons, but I like them all right out there at one time. You push this button, that happens. You push that button. But see, my little brain doesn't remember what's all behind all these different menus and windows and pages and all this stuff. So my Chrysler has one of those nice screens, but then there's this page. Well, you have a few of those across the bottom, which is good, but then you get in there, then, wait a minute, there's other pages behind that thing. And you got to remember what's behind all these pages, and you got a whole other set of buttons. And you got all these buttons on the same thing. My little brain says, I know which button is the one that's right over here. But the fact is, there are four or five or six of them that's right over there, depending what page you're on. And you say, well, I don't understand. Listen, if I dwell in it, I will start understanding it. And it will start making sense to me. So we must receive the Word of God to be saved from hell. We must continue in the Word of God to be made free from sin. Now, we are free from the penalty of sin when we receive Christ. I'm still a guilty sinner. In fact, I will always be a guilty sinner until the day I die, to a certain degree. But I certainly does. Certainly, I can live in a life that's blameless before man. God may know my little imperfections and so forth, but I can live blameless before men. How? Because of the Holy Spirit that comes inside, makes you new. Uses the Word of God, because you continue in the Word of God. Letter B, a disciple, you know this, is a learner. A disciple is a learner. Now, underneath that, one can be a believer and not be a disciple. One can be a believer and not be a disciple. For instance, there's folks who come, they get to come to know Christ, and that's it. You never see them again. And you go back, you talk to them, you think, and they can give you a good testimony of salvation. I think they're saved. But they're going to die 25 years, 30 years, 50 years, 70 years from now, and they're not going to be any better off in their life than they were when they got saved, because they're not learners. They had access to the grace of God because of salvation, but they never took advantage of it. I'm doing a little better with this Chrysler than the other one I had, but the fact is, I've actually gone down a couple pages, found some things, because I'm trying to learn all the goodies that I have on there to make it work. But I know the first one, the first Chrysler I had, it had a few things, and I never went down there. I didn't go down that road because I'm just trying to figure out what was on top. And then you get the book out, and you do this, do this, do that, and I punched my button, I got it accomplished, and if I ever had to do it again, I'm in trouble. That's the way some people live their Christian life. Well, let's see here. There's probably an answer in here someplace. There. You know what I'm saying? All right, there's the answer, and then it's gone. Now, what we need to do is, the thing is, I'm going to trade that in one of these, not anytime soon, but I'm going to trade that in one of these days, or it's going to break down and won't have it anymore. You don't trade this in. It never changes. They don't update the software on this. They don't put it underneath another menu. They don't change it. They don't come down with, they don't come with, you know, Windows 25 or whatever it is going to be, you know? They're not going to change it. It's always going to be the same. Yesterday, today, forever. Forever thy word is settled in heaven. It will always be the same. So we need to learn it. Now watch me. I can be a believer and not a learner. Watch this. Someone can even serve in the church and not be a disciple. They be serving in the church and not a learner of the Word of God. I have been accused a few times in this ministry of holding people back. They wanted to serve here or there, and I've been accused. I said, "Well, let's just wait on that. Let's hold on." And they wanted to get in there. I'll tell you why. But the problem was they hadn't learned yet, and they wanted to be a leader. I'm sorry, they had learned some things, but they weren't ready to lead. They hadn't spent their time learning enough, and hadn't gotten down far enough in their heart. I want somebody who knows what they're doing. That's why, for instance, if we get high school kids and they want to serve, good. I'm tickled to death that there's high school kids who want to serve in a church like this and work in the children's class and stuff like that. That's good. And for instance, once they're seventh grade, they're out of eighth grade actually. I guess they're out of the VBS age, so a lot of them want to come back anyway. They don't want to miss out, so they come back and serve. Amen. That's good. And I have no problem with that. Give them a little job here, a little job there, a runner here, runner. That's fine and dandy. But I don't want somebody who's that young out week after week after week after week after week. Now, you say, well, isn't there a verse that says, by now you should be teachers, and I have to give you milk again, and you ought to be, you should be teachers instead of the children here. Yes, that's true. But you don't put somebody who's still a child just learning out there to be the teacher. I don't want them out. They have a lot of learning to do. Now, on the other hand, problem is sometimes we get so used to being a learner, we sit and soak and sour, and we never become a server. We're like that sponge that you use at the kitchen sink. You squeeze it, it soaks, you use it, and you get stuff in it, you wring it out, you put it back up on there, and after a while that thing starts to stink. It's been sitting and soaking and souring. And before long, what happens is you get a lot of easy chair quarterbacks. And so he says, I want you to continue in the Word. If you want power of the sin in your life, I want you to continue. That's what a disciple is. He's a learner, and you can be a believer and not a disciple. You can be a server and not a disciple. The grand plan of God is the Great Commission. Matthew 28 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That means make learners of. Cause them to be disciples. That's what that means. Now, I know that Marcus says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. It's the same basic idea, but I'm sure all that was part of what he was telling the folks. But in Matthew, as he records it, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. In other words, go in all the world and make learners, not just believers. That's why I have a hard time with 1, 2, 3, pray after me. Oh, got another one, put a notch in my belt, let's move on. You need to know the Word of God. That's why we're so adamant about it here. That's why we spend so much time at it. That's why it's the main event. It's always going to be the main event. He says, go in all the world and teach all nations, make learners. Then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then it says the word teaching. It's a different word. That means now instruct them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you all way even to the end of the earth. So first of all, you go, you get them saved, and you get them learning. And then he says, baptize them. When they know what they're talking about, get them baptized, so that they can stand up and make a public profession of what Christ has done in their heart. We were sinners headed for hell, but Jesus died and paid for our sins and rose again, proving all our sins are paid for. So get them learning, understand that, take a stand, and then continue to teach them all things. And that's why we do this Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. That's why we do it. By the way, you realize this is where the term continue came from our discipleship program we're using. Continue. That's the whole idea. That's what we're supposed to be doing. 2 Peter 1 says, giving all diligence to add to your faith. I know I've said that so many times, you're sick of hearing it, but that's exactly what we're talking about. Give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, the manly desire and valor to do what it takes to get the victory over the sin in your life. Well, what's that? Knowledge. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, temperance, self-control. That's what I need, so that's what I'm going to do. I don't want to, listen, you came home from work, you didn't want to get out of your, you didn't want to, you came home, you went into your nice, cool house, and you really wanted to sit down, have a sweet tea, glass of water, have dinner, put your feet up, take a nap, go to bed. You know, you really did, our body, but we have some learners in here, so I don't want to miss Wednesday night. You go out of your way to go there. I think, I know I've told you, but when I found out, a little Methodist boy, I found out you can go to church. Listen, we would start at 11 o'clock church. 11 o'clock sharp, 12 o'clock dull. That's when we stopped. And you didn't go past 12 o'clock. 11 to 12. That's what you do, you're done. And you're done for the rest of the week till next week, 11 o'clock. When I found out that you can go to church on Sunday night and you go to church on Wednesday night, I thought, this is the greatest thing. And Wednesday, Jack and I were both teaching in public school at that point in time. We made that switch to a good church, and I had to be at school by 7:30. I had kids in my class by 8 o'clock. I didn't have any planning period at all. I had no free time. I had 20 minutes for lunch, and I had kids back in my classroom, and I'd get in our car, and then we would go to Westminster, and Jan and I would meet at McDonald's and shove down a few chicken nuggets or something, or dry hamburger, and then we'd go across the street, we'd teach some music lessons, because we couldn't afford to keep things going, so we needed a little extra money, so we would teach some music lessons, students music, till 6:30, and then we'd get in the car at 6:30 and rush over to the open door, so we could have church at 7 o'clock. After church at 7 o'clock, church would get done, they'd get done about 8:15, 8:30, and then we'd have choir practice for an hour. And so we would do that, and we'd have choir practice at 9:30, then we'd get in the car and go home. That was our Wednesdays. Now, I was a little younger then, but the fact is, I didn't want to give any of that up. I was soaking it in. Man, I soaked it in. Life had been as dry as cracker juice, and all of a sudden God's going to give you something in life. A learner. Giving all diligence to add to your faith. Number three. One must be a disciple to be made free. One must be a disciple to be made free. He says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. You see, you're not going to know the truth unless you're his disciple, unless you're a learner. Listen, you can be a believer and not be free. There's so many people say, well, I got saved, so why isn't everything working? Because you're not a learner yet. The learner takes time. The salvation is a gift of God. It's free. Take it. But study to show thyself approved, a worker who needeth not be ashamed. Learn the word of God. Rightly divide the word of truth. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Compare the word of God. That takes time. That takes effort. We're so busy. Well, he gave me salvation. That's the hard part. Just zap the rest on me too. Well, there's nothing we can do about salvation. We're totally helpless. Now, learning, that's a choice. Well, learning's hard. Well, learning's hard for all of us. Well, I want to be free from all this mess in my life. Okay, then you got to be a disciple. If you're not going to bother being a disciple, don't blame God because everything's not working out for you. And by the way, if we're blaming God for something because we don't know him, and if we don't know him because we haven't decided to be a disciple yet, Why go to church? You can go to church and be a believer and still not be a disciple. You can hear it go by, hear it all. That doesn't mean you let it soak in, become part of who you are. You say, well, my life is just, I tried this God thing, this church thing, it's just not working. Well, maybe you haven't been learning long enough for it to work. That's like saying a kid gets out of first grade and gets a job in the bank being a teller. This education stuff just not working. Well, maybe we need to work a little longer. You work with first graders, don't you? And some of them think they know everything already. Yeah, and you think, oh my soul, can they really think that they know everything? Yeah. But God looks at us and says the same thing. How can Sterling think he knows everything at this point? I mean, he could take all his mental powers and not create a flower. But he thinks he knows everything. Where I created the entire universe with my breath. Spoke the word, here it was. So if you want to be made free, you've got to become a disciple. If you're going to become a disciple, you've got to do more than just be a believer. You've got to be a learner. And ye shall know the truth. Some of us don't know the truth. Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, you do err not knowing the word of God. If you want to be made free, then you've got to know the truth, because the truth shall make you free. If you are true disciples, learning the truths and the reasonings and the thoughts of God, we will know truth in the process. Now, well, here's the phrase that says, make you free. That word make you free means to liberate, so to speak, to make exempt from the law, to change your status in that you are no longer a slave under the controlling bondage of another power. You say, well, I just can't get over this. Okay. People come to RU and think they're going to learn some verses, make God happy. He's going to zap deliverance on them. No. You got to come in and decide you're going to learn truth. Swallow it, hook, line, and sinker, the whole works. Then walk in truth. And God will give you the deliverance. We talked about it on Sunday morning. You've got the path of righteousness. It's all the same thing. You've got this little straight, narrow path, and it's the path of righteousness. And God, with the word of God, shines his light on places in this path, what we're supposed to do, and he doesn't shine where we're not supposed to. And he shows us where we are. And we get on there, and we start following the light where he shows it. We're walking in the Spirit, and it's like walking in that movable sidewalk there at the airport there. You're still walking, but you're getting a whole lot further, getting a whole lot more done, just because you're walking where the Spirit walks, and everybody else is there struggling, just trying to get through life, and you're just... Because the Holy Spirit is working with you and working through you. So you're going to know the truth in the process of being a disciple. So it makes you free. It keeps you free from the power. Underneath letter B, this is the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. When he makes you free, he regenerates you. He makes you a new creation in Christ. Now, I got a little side hand. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but this phrase is misused way too much. They'll say, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's what they will say. I'm sorry, Mr. Martin Luther King, in his famous speech, he talks about the truth will set us free. That's not the word that's used. Watch this. We are not set free as if what is in us is already good and simply needs to, and is being oppressed and suppressed and simply needs to be released. You see what I'm saying? To set them free means there's all this energy, there's all this power. All we got to do is somebody's simply holding them back. They're being oppressed. We just need to lift the oppression and let nature take its course because it's already there. No, there's nothing there. In fact, if he sets us free, what's he going to do? We're going to give sin a free rein. No, we've got to be made free. We need to become a new creation in Christ. You know, they talk about reforming men and women in prison, and so they want to treat them, teach them this trade or give them an education, and that's all fine and dandy, but the fact is, what you're doing is making a smart crook. Unless there's something changes in their heart. We're born bound by the sin. We are captives. Now, letter C, we are captives of the sin within our own hearts. And until we come to recognize that and admit that, we're going to be in trouble. If we let loose that which is in us, set it free, it simply gives our sin free rein. We must be made new and be freed from the sin within us. Now, this has nothing to do with my message, but I came across one in my studying. Martin Luther King made this statement. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And that's good. But why do we have people here that say we need to have so-and-so in the White House schools? We never had one of those. I don't care who they are. They have good character. I'm all for them. I'm not racist. Honest, I'm not. I'm glad to have them. And there's probably somebody I wouldn't have. I mean, I'm not sure he was the right man, but I wouldn't have mind having Ben Carson. I wouldn't mind that at all. In fact, I think he's too godly for the rest of the world to put him in there. I think they were scared of him. I mean, what I'm saying is we've got to be careful, and we got to be careful that we don't just say, well, we need to have our first Muslim congresswoman. We don't have to have the first Muslim congress. Just have somebody with character. By the way, character should be according to the Word of God, but anyway, character. Anyway, I'm sorry, but we shouldn't give them privilege or even hold them back. I don't care. Anyway, that's another story. Romans 6:16, look what it says here. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, there's the free from the penalty of sin, okay? You became the servants of righteousness, learners. I speak here of the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your faith and your fruit of the holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he said, listen, who you decide you're going to obey, that's who your master is, if you will. That you're their servant. And we need to be made free from being servant or bondage to the sin. That's only going to happen if we know the truth. It gets down in our heart. And we're only going to know the truth unless we become a disciple. Believing is the absolute beginning of all of it. But it's just the beginning. I got a couple statements here. One can be a believer and not be made free from sin. Now I say that. You are given access to, you have the ability to be free from sin. But you're not going to be made free until you become a disciple, until you know the truth. You're not going to know the truth until you become a learner. One can be a server, working in the ministry, and not be made free from the power of sin in one's own life. I've seen this. Listen, I have seen ministries. I've been part of big ministries, and some of you maybe have been part of ministries over the years someplace too, where somebody gets in and they start serving. They get saved, they get serving, and they never really grow. They're one of these folks that stands out here in the lobby, and they, you know, they do, they stay out there and talk all Sunday. They get all look sharp, and they hand out the bulletins, or they do this or do that, or they're on security or whatever it is, and they never really learn the Word of God. And then their whole life, their family falls apart, their marriage falls apart, their kids walk away. The kids walk away from the truth. Why? Because they didn't see it at home. Why didn't they see it at home? Because sin still reigned in the home. Well, why did sin still reign? Because they were never set free from the sin. Well, why? Because they didn't know the truth. And they didn't know the truth because they were never a disciple. They happened to be in the same room with everybody else, but they never learned the Word of God. Someone that wants to serve but does not want to learn God's Word is a danger to the work of God. Every once in a while you get something, and the thing is, preach, and I've got good men, and we all have that temptation. But this is part of living by faith. You say, boy, I need somebody to do so and so and so and so. Oh, we need some folks to work in the nursery. Well, I'll work every week. Would you really? Oh, sure, I don't have any problem with that. And you know what they hear every Sunday? Wah, wah, wah. Now, it sounds almost like that in the auditorium, but it has some definition of what the words actually are, though, in the auditorium. That's why we wrote. Why do you make it so confusing? We rotate through. This is why. Now, as somebody who's been a learner for a while, they can come to the point where they are teachers, so to speak. And they are able to feed themselves, learn themselves. They're learning the rest of the week. In fact, tell you the truth, you become a good teacher, you learn more teaching than you do being a student if you really become a good teacher. And so you start learning all this stuff, and so you're still a learner, but you're able to be a learner and a leader. But if you're not careful, we will be a server and never have been a learner. And we're trying to lead without having to know the truth that sets us free. We want to lead the people. Listen, you cannot make disciples if you're not a disciple yourself. You can't lead someplace where you've never been. Letter E. Probably should stop. I want to finish this thought. Letter E. Now let's think this through with me. Truth frees us from the penalty of sin. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When you know Jesus Christ, you know the truth. You know the truth about your sin. You know the truth about who He is. You know the truth about His love and His grace and His mercy. You're going to learn the truth about the power of God that saves us from the penalty of sin. Now, we now know the Savior who has paid the price of our sin. Truth frees us from the penalty of sin. Letter F. Truth frees us from the power of sin. That's the progressive. I know it's kind of bringing it all around here. Frees us from the power of sin. As we know truth and we yield to it. What did it say in Romans? It says, to whom you yield yourselves to servants to obey. That's whose servants you are, to whom you obey. We learn the truth. Now, if you obey it, then it's going to have the effect that you want it to have. If you learn the truth and refuse it, said when they knew He was God, they glorified Him not as God. Professed themselves to be wise, they became fools. But we see the truth and accept the truth, digest the truth, yield to the truth, then we're going to have power over sin because the truth will make you free. It's not going to set you free. It's going to change who you are and make you free. Letter G. One day, truth will free us from the presence of sin. But that's not yet. When we're in glory, we'll be free from the presence of sin. Truth will set us free. Letter H. Truth frees us from falsehood. If you know truth, falsehood is less likely to confuse you and draw you away. You know the illustration. They try to teach a teller how to tell the difference between real money and counterfeit. So what do? They bring out all the different counterfeit things so they can catch them. No, they don't. They show them the real stuff. And if it doesn't line up with the real stuff, then it's not right. Well, it looks real good in all these different places. It's probably pretty, no. It has to line up all the way in all the issues. If it lines up all the way, then it's truth. If it doesn't line up in all the little things, then it's not truth. When Satan decided to tempt Jesus in Matthew 4, Satan used Scripture. But you know what he did? He gave him partial Scripture. And then Jesus came back and gave him the right. See, he's got it all line up. That's why I'm sure you've often said, well, why is he reading this, the verse I want's right there. Why is he reading all the verses around it? Because I want you to see where the context is that I'm not, though it may not be exactly aiming toward what we're talking about, is in the context it is saying what I'm telling you to say. Because I want you to know the truth. Because I want you to be made free. So if I want to be free from the falsehood in the world that's driving me away here, why is that so bad? Listen, there's things that I wouldn't go close to, I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, and you say, I don't know why it's so bad. Because, you see, I've learned some truths, and it does look really good in all these things. But that little thing right there, that little thing right there, yeah, it's rat poison. And you need one, and you're dead. But it looks really good. I know it looks really good. But I'm not getting close to that thing. It'll kill you. Well, you're being too picky. No, I'm not being too picky. I want to live. I want to stay free. I don't want to be caught up in sin, have it get a hold of me, and I can't get out. The world will tell you all kinds of stories. Truth. If you know the truth, the stories are not really scary because they're not true. Don't come at me with this stuff. I mean, some people think, well, why in the world? How can they think? I mean, see, some people say, well, all these people said this and this and this. And I know the Bible says this, but all these people said this and this. I don't care how many people said this and this and this. Everybody in the world can say the other thing. Ask Jeremiah. Truth is still truth. Letter I, oh my soul. Truth, you know, I'm going to stop. Because it's time to get out of here. And the truth is, mind can only absorb what the backside can endure. And so I'm going to stop right there. Because I want you to see this. This is not complicated, but I do want to see if it's plain right there in front of you. And we'll fill those in next time. All right, we'll fill that next time I'm up here. All right, well, let's pray. And remember, if you don't think about anything else, remember, the truth makes you free, doesn't set you free. See, the world says, I'm fine all by myself. I just need everybody to get out of my way. You know, if my husband would just, with my kids would just, well, if my mom and dad would just, well, if my employer would just, if my neighbor would just, you know, if the preacher would just stop harping on this and encourage, then I'd be okay. Because there's nothing wrong with me. I just need to get everything out of the way so I can move. That's not what he said. In fact, he says, you got all these little, you got a straight and narrow way. We got to get all lined up in this little spot here. But if you do the truth, it'll make you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts here tonight and encourage us. Then maybe we just kind of rest in the thoughts we've had here this evening, and then we can pick up next time and build on that. So, Lord, I pray that you bless it. Thank you for what you're going to do. We ask in Christ's name.